Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever lost your keys in space? What is the worst place you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone? We're opening it up for cell phone as well. And this is a question inspired by a coworker of ours who recently left his keys in another state and was all out of sorts. And so I was thinking about the various places that I have left my keys and cell phone and the consternation that I have caused myself. And in some instances, the keys and or cell phone, actually never keys, but the cell phone has been irretrievable. Some ways that you just can't get it back. But there have been a couple of pretty incredible moments where I've had that sweet relief of retrieving the phone when I thought it was never to be seen or heard from again. In the sand, on the beach, in the Outer Banks with my family, realizing as it's getting dark that I do not have the phone. My niece is out there with me in a flashlight calling the phone over and over, but it was buried under sand, so we couldn't see the light until we were literally on top of it. So that was also a miracle. I told you about the plane on the way back from Ecuador to Miami and having thrown the phone away in my salmonella stupor, and somehow the dumpster diving / opening up trash bags. It was in the first trash bag, the very top of the bag when we opened it. I've also left my cell phone sitting in the middle of New York City next to Madison Square Garden on a bench where it fell out of my pocket. A friend and I walked away. I didn't think anything of it. We said goodbye at the train at Penn Station. I go to get on the train. I've got my ticket. I don't have my phone. So I go racing back out there. I'm retracing my steps. I'm looking everywhere. Phone is nowhere to be found. And I get home and this is when having a landline comes in handy. I have a landline at home. It's mostly because my grandmother can't hear me on a cell phone. So I use my landline to call my Grammy. Anyway, my mom and I use the landline too. So I'm archaic. Get home, use the landline, or I think I'm going to use the landline to call the cell phone company to figure out, what else I need to do to turn off the cell phone so that people can't start stealing my information off of it. I know. And on my answering machine at home is my mother frantically left me a message about how a police officer has called her and told her that he's got my phone. Gosh, what are the chances I leave my phone sitting on a bench in the middle of Manhattan and the first guy to come along is a police officer, a member of the NYPD, who calls the first couple numbers that come up in the phone. I know it was an unprotected phone. He got into it pretty easily. Calls the first couple numbers, gets a hold of my mom, leaves a message. She calls me and tells me where I can pick up the phone. The guy left it at the Madison Square Garden lost and found for me to retrieve later that night. Seriously, isn't that amazing? You don't even need to tell me. I know it's amazing. So on this Twizzler Tuesday edition, we're asking you worst place you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone, whether retrievable or whether not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. A couple of big stories in sports, and then we'll get back to your calls. Of course, the NFL, the NFLPA are meeting to try to come up with agreed upon health and safety protocols. So both sides have to agree. It's not going to be easy. Time is now of the essence if they choose to start training camps on time. I am of the opinion they don't probably need the same length of a training camp as they had in the past, especially if they don't have preseason games. That's also up in the air. But nothing leaked out about their call on Monday. They are expected to continue negotiating and going back and forth over the next couple of days. There were some players who were kind of cryptic in their review of what happened on Monday in this conference call. But as you can imagine, they're supposed to kind of keep it tight-lipped as much as possible. But this is all about the health and safety. This is all about making sure that the particular protocols are feasible. Are they even possible to observe? And remember, John Harbaugh and others, I mean, Deshaun Watson labeled them damn silly in all capital letters. But John Harbaugh, one of the first to come out and say, this is ridiculous. It's impossible for us to be able to stick to these protocols when we're playing the game of football. And so there's got to be some give and take. But certainly we're talking about a football season that likely won't have fans, at least not to start, and is going to have to be as meticulous with its testing and its health and safety guidelines as every other sport out there. Otherwise, there will be no football. I mean, it's dicey as it is with soccer, with basketball, with hockey, of course, with Major League Baseball. Every day, it's another round of testing. It's more numbers that are being released. It's few, another disaster averted because a player like a Russell Westbrook found out he had COVID-19 before he got on the team playing to Orlando. They have to go through all of these steps. They have to jump through all of these hoops or football is doomed from the start. So, of course, these are extremely important and they've got a lot of issues that they have to work out before training camp begins. Now, of course, what do we know about deadlines? They spur action. The closer they get to the start of training camp, the more urgency there will be. But I believe they don't necessarily need to start at the same time that they have in the past, especially if they have no preseason games or fewer preseason games. So we'll give you information as we have it, but there really isn't much. I had an agent call me on Monday and say, have you heard anything? No. Have you heard anything? No. I mean, between the two of us, we know a whole lot of nothing. Generally, we have information to share back and forth, but we didn't have any. And so it's still very much up in the air, but I do believe both sides are motivated. The Players Association and the NFL owners, they want to get this done because they want to have football on the field for the most part. So they're, you know, going back and forth with their various proposals for testing and whether or not they'll have preseason games and all of the other big issues that they have to compromise over. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed my conversation with former Niners defensive lineman Ian Williams, we'll bring back part of that later this hour. But really good stuff. Great talker. Lived through one of the worst eras in Niners football and now is with NBC Sports Bay Area. So he's got a lot of ideas, and we're just going to share a portion of that conversation. But I did ask him about preseason games. And also, he played at Notre Dame, and so he kind of has the perspective as the best of both worlds. Elsewhere in sports, the Washington Redskins, the Washington football team, the team that plays in Washington, that represents Washington, they will get a new nickname and a new logo. We knew this was coming, the official announcement on Monday. But did you all hear what is happening? Oh my gosh. This does not surprise me. In 2020, this does not surprise me. Some ingenious entrepreneurs out there who would like to make an easy buck, an easy $1 million. At least that's what they're hoping. They have already gone ahead, a bunch of people have already gone ahead and filed trademark paperwork for a bunch of different nicknames so that if the Redskins, sorry, the franchise that used to be called the Redskins wants to use that nickname, they would have to purchase the trademark from one of these Johnny on the Spots or Jenny on the Spots. I can't. I can't. Could you imagine? You want to block an NFL team from using a particular name unless they pay you a buttload of money. And so you go ahead and put up front the cash, the capital, to buy a particular trademark so that the team has to come to you. If I'm Dan Snyder, anybody associated with the team, here's my reaction. Screw you. We'll find another nickname. There's no way that I'm paying someone to use their trademark unless it's one that is already owned by, I don't know, another corporation, another entity, something like that. But not some fan who thought, you know what? It's an easy way for me to make some money. I'll go ahead and file for a trademark that I don't need just so I can block the Redskins. Sorry. This is going to happen a lot. Block the team in D.C. from using it. I don't feel bad. It's going to take me a while. I'm pretty confident that I'm not the only one. I still call the Chargers San Diego a lot. I still say Rose Garden about the basketball arena in Portland. I don't still call Dolphin Stadium Joe Robbie Stadium, but for a long time, I couldn't get past the Joe Robbie part. Gosh, I very often just give up trying to get the right names of the stadiums and the ballparks around the country because they change so often. In the case of team names, it takes me a few seasons, a few rotations. But as I have already admitted, it wasn't that long ago, maybe a month ago, where I couldn't remember the name of the Charlotte NBA team. I legit went back and forth between Bobcats and Hornets. Wait, shoot, now that I'm thinking, it's Hornets, right? Okay. See what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to remember. What's in a name exactly? I know it's going to be difficult. Some of you extremely resistant to seeing the name of your favorite football team changed. And I get it. Old traditions die hard, but it does not wipe out any of the history of this football team. It doesn't wipe out the success of the franchise. It doesn't wipe out the legacy of any of the great athletes or coaches who came before. No, that's all still preserved. It's just a name. It's just a name. The franchise is still intact. The history is still intact. Joe Gibbs, one of my favorite NFL coaches, one of my favorite sports people. Everything that he did, everything that they accomplished under him. Doug Williams, still the Super Bowl MVP. It's a name change that we will get used to. Might take a little while. It's going to take me a little while. But that's the only thing that's changing, not the history of this franchise that goes back nearly 90 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Springs played for the Redskins. It was obviously the Redskins then, for 5 years as part of his career as an NFL defensive back. And he was remarking on the name change on CBS Sports HQ.
It's probably the right thing to do. Obviously, not only we're in a global pandemic, but right now we're currently in a racial pandemic. So, you know, the Redskins nickname is offensive to some people. When I was playing for Washington, we looked at it, you know, we didn't think anything of it because there was conversations that the Native Americans, it didn't bother some of them. And, you know, now when I look back on it, I can see why it's offensive and probably the right thing to do for Washington is to get a new name.
I know that there are a lot of you who say to me, it's not offensive to me. Yeah, I mean, I get it. But it's just a name. And if it's offensive to anyone, even if it's only half the people, a quarter of the people, especially if you're not Native American and that's not your heritage, I don't know that we're super qualified to say whether or not the name is offensive if we are not Native American. So that's always my response when people ask me. No, it doesn't offend me, but I'm not Native American. I'm not the people that anyone should be worried about, right? We should be thinking about those people that are, in fact, Native Americans. And maybe there was a time when it didn't offend the majority of them. But it does now, and it's a different world, as Sean Springs points out. I'd not heard anyone call it a racial pandemic, but certainly along with COVID-19, we are in a spring and now a summer where these are all very much top of mind topics and debates and discussions. And what have we talked about? How do we learn from one another? Well, we listen. And if there's a, even if it's a vocal minority who's speaking out about how, yes, this in fact does offend me, it causes me pain, well, then there's no need to not change it other than it's a something to get adjusted to. I mean, whatever. We are a resilient people. We're a resilient human race. We adjust to far more difficult challenges and under far more difficult circumstances than this one. And so I think that if we can just get past that whole idea that it's about public pressure, certainly there's an element of that. Let's be honest. Dan Snyder wasn't going to change the name until there was public and financial pressure. He'd already said for years that there was no way he was going to change the name Redskins. Well, the public pressure is part of why we're in this situation, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Again, for the majority of us, it's just a new excuse to buy a t-shirt. It's an adjustment that in a couple years, while we may miss it, it's not the end of the world. I mean, how many franchises have changed cities, have changed logos, have changed nicknames? I mean, I was just talking about one that's changed multiple times, as a matter of fact. It's not easy. But in the grand scheme of life, it's also not that important to us, to the majority of us as fans. It's important to Native Americans. And so we need to listen to them. And what they're saying is that, at least the ones that I've heard from, at least the ones that have spoken up, what they're saying is that this is something that offends them and causes them pain. So that's all I needed to hear. Again, I feel like pretty quickly we'll get through it and we'll be okay with buying new t-shirts with new logos and celebrating a new tradition while not completely scrapping the part of history that will not change, that doesn't get thrown out. You can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good morning to you. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. We're being goofy. We're sharing humiliating stories because then we know that we're not alone. What is that hashtag we see everywhere? I got to be honest. Sometimes it makes me roll my eyes. Everywhere I look, the hashtag alone together. Do you know how many debates I've had with myself or with other people who are not actually there about how that hashtag is ridiculous and I hate it? It's just, it annoys me now after seeing it everywhere. But we are together. We're not alone. We're together. Those two things don't... It's an oxymoron! I'll stop there. We're together.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
One of our questions about the Houston Rockets answered, why isn't Russell Westbrook in Orlando? Well, Russ revealed on social media that he tested positive for COVID-19 before he got on the team plane, which is the right time to do it if you have to have it, and that he is feeling good. He's in quarantine and will join his team as soon as he has passed through. I think it's a couple of negative tests before he can then get to Orlando, quarantine again, and then go through another round of testing. I mean, it's a lot. You really got to commit to it. Tiger Woods is committed to it for the Memorial this weekend. Golf has got this superstar pairing. Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, along with Tiger Woods. So they've inserted Tiger Woods into this group with Rory and Brooks. And this is Tiger's first event other than the match two, which was he killed it. He was that was a great opportunity to watch Tiger play on his home course. But his first official event going back to mid-February. And remember, last time he played on the tour, awful. I mean, awful. He missed the cut at the Genesis Invitational and really needed to have the time off, but looked great when he was playing with Phil and Tom and Peyton. My gosh, all of a sudden the names were all together. They're all smushed together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? It's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. Will is in San Francisco. Will, what is your embarrassing, humiliating story?
Amy, it's a really pleasure to talk to you. I listen to you all the time night, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
So my girlfriend and my friend and his girlfriend were in Las Vegas, And we went to Cirque du Soleil, long night, played some blackjack. It was about 4:30 in the morning. And so we sat down, not many people at the casino, and I was sitting in front of a slot machines, set my phone down. And a couple of minutes later, we went to leave. Cell phone's gone. Somebody had, I guess, grabbed it. They were on the other side and grabbed the phone.
Yikes.
So, but that's only half the story. So anyway, I used my girlfriend's phone, called the cell phone company, arranged to get a new phone before we left the next day to come home to San Francisco. Got the new phone, paid $700 because I didn't have insurance, of course. So we fly back. I have a boat that is at the marina that's about 10 minutes from the airport. So we go, that's where the car was. So we go back to the marina, went to the boat, spent a couple hours at the boat, had meal and whatever, and so we get ready to leave the boat, and so it's nice. It's about a 34-foot boat. There's a section in the back, and so we're leaving, and so I put the phone in my the new phone in my jacket pocket because I didn't want to drop it.
The $700 phone.
And so so you have to climb over the like edge, and there's a platform on the back of the boat that you know, when you're, if you're skiing, you get on the boat.
Yeah. We got you. You got to get to the finish of the story. You're keeping us all hanging in suspense.
So we climb, I, as I'm climbing back over the edge, the phone falls out of my pocket, hits the edge of the boat.
Oh no.
It's like in slow motion.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like your life flashing before you.
Yep.
And it bounces on the edge of the boat, down, bounces on the little platform, and into the water.
Oh.
So I lost two phones in a matter of a little over 24 hours.
Oh, and a whole lot of money.
Yes.
I hope you had insurance on the second phone. I guess not. That's terrible.
No.
All right. Yeah. Well,
you think I'd learn.
Yeah. You think you're like, no way. Lightning strikes twice. I got you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Gosh. Well,
now I do.
Yeah. So. No, now I have insurance on my phone. Well, good to talk to you. That was a great story.
You have a good one.
You too. 855-212-4227. We'll do one more. Dave, you tell me which one, because we have to squeeze it in before the bottom of the hour here. Let's talk to Dave, who's in Vermont. Dave, welcome to After Hours. You literally have 2 minutes. Go.
I lost my way for about a year and a half. I used to help my boy doing some drainage work when I noticed my ring was no longer on my hand.
Uh-oh.
It's like, what happened? Where'd it go? So I, of course, looking around, can't find it. Got a metal detector, can't find it. Looked everywhere where I thought I lost it. Except for the fact that it's gone, I'll never see it again. About a year and a half later, my son's in the yard where he does a lot of splitting wood and cutting wood, running his tractor and his pickup truck, and his mud all over the place, right?
Yep.
He looks down, sees this shiny round thing on the ground, picks it up, and he takes a picture of it, sends a text to me, says, "Remember this?"
Oh my God!
I couldn't believe it.
A year and a half later.
A year and a half later, so I was ecstatic. I couldn't believe it because I felt so bad I lost to begin with.
Of course.
So I got it back from Jeremy and brought it home, and I let my wife, Lori, put it back on my hand.
Wait, so had you already gotten a replacement wedding ring?
No, I didn't even bother. No, she wasn't worried about me getting another one, so I never bothered. I just accepted the fact that it was a lost cause.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a blessing to get it back, and I let her put it back on my hand.
That is phenomenal. A year and a half later.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, Dave. Thanks so much for calling from Vermont.
Hey, by the way, Amy?
Yeah.
Maple syrup on ice cream is good. I remember you doing a thing about ice cream a couple weeks back. Maple syrup on vanilla ice cream.
All right. I'll keep that in mind, Dave. That does sound yummy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Have a good day.
You too. I like Vermont maple syrup, but don't tell anyone because I'm from New Hampshire. So I really would prefer to eat New Hampshire maple syrup, but Vermont's pretty good as well. Rick on Facebook, a roller coaster at Cedar Point. One of my favorite places to go on roller coasters, and probably my favorite place. He said it just fell right out of my pocket. I'm not the only one. It's the crazy, the amount of stuff that gets lost on roller coasters. Yeah, I wonder if that's why they tell you secure all of your belongings and don't leave them in your pockets because you're about to be upside down, you freaks. All right, coming up next, part of my conversation with former Niners defensive lineman Ian Williams, also went to Notre Dame. Great talker, as many of you have said from the Bay Area.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ain't that the truth? Devin McCourty, previously on JR Sport Brief here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the virus don't care what you do for a living or whether or not you are inconvenienced. Right now, the NFL and the NFL Players Association attempting to settle on protocols and agree on what camp and training camp should look like, whether or not there should be preseason games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Earlier in the show, we had a chance to catch up with former Niners defensive lineman Ian Williams. Now, he also played at Notre Dame. We had a really good discussion about college football versus the NFL, but I'm picking up the portion of the conversation where I ask him, where does he fall on preseason games? Are they needed? Are they not necessary?
Well, I mean, I'm an undrafted guy, so you know, a guy like me, when I came out in 2011, you know, that was the lockout year. Yep. I needed those four preseason games. I needed that full month of training camp because I came in without having any meetings, not having any playbook. You know, thank God for these guys. You know, they have technology now where they've had Zoom meetings. They've been meeting with their coaches. They've already gotten their playbook. They've gotten the iPad. So they pretty much have everything that they, you know, visually need. But it just comes to the physicality. Have they been training and will they be ready, you know, once training camp starts? And then now for the undrafted guys, you know, they're cutting down the roster to 80 players instead of having 90. So, you know, some of those bottom end guys, you know, they're getting, you know, released, they're getting cut. You know, maybe I would have been one of those guys. I don't know. But now, you know, those first two preseason games, you know, early in August, you know, you were really getting into, you know, the professional physicality of what the NFL is. And then, you know, once you get into like week two or three in a training camp, you really start to understand the playbook and you really can start to play and have a little fun before the cuts really start to happen. And you, and the game starts to slow down for you a little bit, because even though it's the preseason, it's, the game's still, you know, a little bit faster than college football. and, you know, it just sucks for a lot of these guys. They're not going to have that. It's going to go right into, you know, game three and game four, and then bam, all right, it's the real deal Holyfield now. You know, we're starting the regular season off. So it's just going to be difficult. But like I said earlier in our conversation, you know, these guys are, at the end of the day, they're professionals, and this is what the game is. So, you know, you have to change with what, you know, times change. You know, I train with Dante, you know, Dante Whitner. He does the show with me on NBC, and I've been training with him. And, you know, a guy like him, you know, he played in a time where the targeting rule wasn't there. So we talk all the time about the targeting rule. You know, him and Deshaun Golson, you know, when they're out here in San Francisco, they were, you know, knocking people out left and right. We didn't have the targeting rule, but now there's a targeting rule, and we've always talked about, you know, guys having to adjust with the game. So this is just another adjustment to the game.
Ian Williams with us here After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk specific Niners, since that's the team you're talking about on a regular basis. What was your reaction to Raheem Mostert, who just took over that feature back role and had such an incredible, I guess, playoffs, but also really the last month of the regular season, and his agents indicated that he would like a trade?
I feel like you've been following me on Twitter. You know, I've been talking about this on Twitter for the past couple of days. I actually tweeted out, what was it, early last week, hashtag pay Raheem Mostert. Just random. But I just felt it coming because, you know, we're getting to a point of where the season's about to start where, you know, now you're going to start to lose that leverage of, you know, having a good season last year and then going into another season. And then I've met, I've seen Jet McKinnon. And he looks like the next coming of Walter Payton out there just training. And then, you know, Tevin Coleman's going to be healthy. And Jeff Wilson's another guy that played very well last year. Then now a guy like Raheem, you know, I'm frustrated for him because I've met the guy. I love him. He's personally a great dude, like great dude on and off the field, always smiling, like he just always smiling. But this was his time to really capitalize on his success of last year. And I just feel like I don't know what it was, but maybe his agent didn't, you know, negotiate any incentives or any certain types of things into his deal so that if he took any carries or handoffs or anything like that, he wasn't going to get any escalators or any bonuses. You know, it's just like, how does this happen? And he has, like, no leverage right now. And it just sucks for him because, you know, he has bounced around the league and he finally got an opportunity and he, you know, seized that opportunity and, you know, did the most that he could with the opportunity that he was given and became one of the leaders on that offense and also is a special teams guy who can, you know, get you some tackles and get a ball carrier down in a crucial moment in special teams. And now this is his time to capitalize on, you know, getting some extra money. And it's not cheap out here living in Cali. So it's great going to the Super Bowl and, you know, having the Bay Area, having the faithful and stuff out here. But, you know, it's not cheap out here. I'll tell people that straight up. And, you know, he's a running back. He's bounced around. He's undrafted. So he doesn't have the long money like that. And this is his chance to get some long money. So I'm hoping for him. I know he's going to come into camp and he's going to be healthy. He's going to be ready to compete with those other dudes that I mentioned. But I just hope, because I'm still, at the end of the day, I'm a player first. You know, I got into it with some people. They're like, oh, well, he's, you know, the team gave him an opportunity and, you know, he should be grateful for the opportunity. No, I'm a player. I'm not an owner. It's not my money. My name is not Jed York. It's not my money. I'm a player. Jed used to pay me, and I thank Jed that he paid me and helped me out, obviously. But it's not my money, but I hope Raheem gets paid, and I hope all these players get paid, even though I know they can't do that because there's a cap, you know.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I still want these guys to get paid. You know, that cap situation is not my problem.
That's true. Don't worry about somebody else's money. And that's what I tell people about, like, let's say the Patrick Mahomes deal, for instance. Why are people constantly, this is stuff fans, constantly telling me nobody's worth that, yada, yada, yada. It's too much money for a football player. It's not your money. What do you care? You're not the one who's paying his salary.
Yeah, I mean, people are just going to, you know, say whatever they want. You know, people, you know, Twitter and Instagram and other, you know, social media outlets have given the random, the average, you know, couch potato, you know, a voice now. So it's just, it's cool that they have a voice now. But at the same time, you know, it is at the end of the day, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be waking up sleeping in money. So he really doesn't care.
Ian, the San Francisco 49ers have finally gotten back to the place now where they're not just relevant, but considered a Super Bowl contender. It's been cool to see what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done in building that roster. And obviously, I mean, you were part of some years that were lean, you know, toward the end there, where there was a few years where it's just a coaching change every 4 months, it seemed like. But anyway, now going back to where they are now, or, you know, to being prominent, what do they need to put them over the top?
I feel like with everything that has gone on from, you know, Harbaugh leaving in 14 and Jim Tom Sula coming in 15 to Chip Kelly to now to Kyle and John Lynch coming in and just totally revamping the roster, because this by 17 – This was a very bad roster. This was one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And for them to be able to flip this roster roughly in 2 years and get it to where it is now, obviously you need players. And they had players around on that team. They just needed more structure on offense and more structure on defense, and they've gotten that. And they've also gotten some veterans like Richard Sherman, like a Joe Staley, you know, just traded for another Trent Williams. Emmanuel Saunders was a key veteran last year to add middle of the season, to be able to have another guy for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball to and trust that when I throw this ball to you on this third or second down, you know, we haven't been able to do much on the ground. I can trust you. You know, little things like that, it helps for these younger guys to be able to see. So they've built a roster, not just very young, not just very fast, not just very big or physical, but they've built a very, you know, top to bottom decent roster where there's not a lot of superstars, but there's a lot of very good football players. And also with Kyle Shanahan's system of how he likes to use George Kittle or Kyle Juszczyk. who's kind of a tight end H-back. You kind of don't know how to guard against them. And then you have, you know, some weapons out there in Deebo Samuel, you have the stable of running backs. And, you know, you have some fun out there. You get some play action. Then you get a defense that goes out there that has Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead. And then you got some corners. And now you've created a recipe of success where now you're offensively putting up points and you're putting pressure on the opposite team's offense, and now they have to pass the ball. And now when you have to pass the ball against the 49ers, who are you going up against? Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead at the time, DeForest Buckner, DJ Jones. You know, you had so many guys, but now, you know, not having DeForest Buckner, you ask me, how do they get over the hump? Somebody needs to beat Kansas City in the AFC. That's how they get over the hump. because Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, I can tell you, in crunch time, they're something special to watch. I was fortunate to be there, a part of NBC for the Super Bowl, and it was a treat to really watch these two teams really battle in prime time in such a big game like this. But the 49ers, I feel like they have the confidence now to beat Kansas City. I feel like they have the confidence now to get all the way back and not just, all right, we're happy to be here. Oh, we're up 10 points. Let's relax now. Mm. I feel like they have the confidence, and now they have the film to go back and watch. This is what we did wrong and at the critical juncture of a football game, at the critical juncture of a Super Bowl game. And now we know what to do and what not to do when the big moment comes. So I feel like, you know, this next season, they're just kind of to, you know, add on to what they did last season.
Great conversation with Ian Williams, former defensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers. And he did go through some bleak years. He mentions Tom Sula and Kelly, the end of Harbaugh, and now look where they are. They certainly have made incredible strides. Talk to him a little bit more about what else the Niners need, right? So how do they get over the hump? And then in addition to that, we talked about virus protocols and what's realistic, what's not. So I hope that you'll go and check out that conversation in its entirety on our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. We podcast the whole show, minus commercial breaks, every weekday morning, literally within minutes of when you hear the boom. And good morning to you, too. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So our Twizzler Tuesday question is about humiliation. It's about fear. Because, you know, we don't get enough of that these days. What's the worst place you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone? I'm going to try to get to these last two calls. We're going to do it quick. Anthony is in Boise, Idaho. Anthony, go.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I was in 2013. I was going to the state tournament, and it was 350 miles away in Tri-Cities, and I left my keys in the hotel room after the second round of the golf tournament. So I was back and had done graduation for senior year, and had my car just still parked out front of the lot a week after everybody had already done left high school.
Oh my gosh. When did you get your keys back?
They had to send them in the mail, so I got them about 6 days later.
Oh my gosh, talk about stress upon stress.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was ever going to see them again.
At least they didn't prevent you from graduating, though. That's the good news.
Yep, I still got to walk.
So all right, Anthony, that's a great story. Thanks for calling from Boise. Have a great Tuesday.
Thank you.
See if we can squeeze in Dennis in Sacramento. I'm not kidding, Dennis. You have 60 seconds. Go.
Okay, you're a Star Wars fan, so I guess I'll say the Force was with me. Around April this year, when people started taking the coronavirus a little bit serious, so it's my wife and I's anniversary. So I said, hey, you know, we got a shelter in place. Let's do something fun at home. So I said, let's buy a spa. So we did. We bought a spa, and I was enjoying it about a couple weeks ago, and we were in there, I don't know, an hour or so, and then we got out and watched a Bruce Lee series that we were wanting for on Netflix for like 3 or 4 hours, and then I was going to go to bed. About an hour later, I started looking for my phone.
Uh-oh.
It might be in the bottom of the spa. Sure enough, I opened up the spa. It was right there on the bottom of the spa. And you know what? I picked it up. The light came on right away. It works.
After hours in the spa?
Yeah, literally about 5 hours in the bottom of the spa.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's amazing. I would say you're right. The force was definitely with you. Thanks, Dennis. Have a great Tuesday.
You too.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, why couldn't that happen to you, Dave, after you dropped your phone in the toilet?
No such luck.
I guess not. The force wasn't with you. Wow. Some pretty incredible stories. Miracles, I would have to call them. Thank you for sharing so many of them with us. We got hundreds of your posts on social media, and you can go and check it out on our show Twitter. Producer Chris retweeted a bunch of them, After Hours CBS, and then always on our Facebook page, we have a whole community. So thanks for listening. Thanks for weighing in. We'll be back tonight for the Hump Show. Now, we're hoping for some news from the NFL. So far, they're pretty tight-lipped. But time is of the essence. Thanks again for being part of our show and making us laugh. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.